Hi, I'm John Weber. Today on Piano Jazz, we are graced by a visit from a world-renowned First Call recording session bassist here in New York City. She's been winning composition awards since she was a teenager, which is not too long ago. She is a must-see, show-stopping, steadily employed fixture at Iridium's Monday Night Sets since the last millennium. She's well into her second decade on that gig, anchoring a smokin' rhythm section for many years side-by-side with the man who merely invented the electric guitar, Les Paul. His bassist of choice is our guest today. She's also an exquisite singer who has performed on at least 5 immensely popular Broadway shows. She's a class act, and I'm proud to say my friend, Nikki Perrott, welcome to Piano Jazz.
It's wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
You know, I need to ask you about the instrument itself. You play the bass so well, so musically. And my question for you is, something or somebody convinced you to pick up this gigantic instrument at age 15, an instrument with no frets, no keys, just 4 thick-gauged, low-pitched strings. Tell me, what made the upright bass so attractive and irresistible to you at age 15?
Well, I actually started on piano and flute. And then my sister had a band, and she said to me, I don't need a flute player in my band, so if you want to be in my band, play the bass. And there was one at school, funny enough. I picked up one at school and took it home and put some strings on it and started teaching myself, essentially.
Wow. Well, what would you advise for the 15-year-old student who's just been assigned the contrabass chair? Here they are. They can't even put it under their chin. It's such a big instrument. They got to hold it upright and grab at the strings. It's so big. What would you tell them? You've been there at one point.
Scales.
That'll do it, huh?
No, listen to a lot of bass players and steal their licks. And the bass is so physically hard, so you have to actually do scales and bow chromatic scales and things to actually get used to the size in the left hand of how far the notes are apart.
It is such a thankless gig to play the bass because there you are. I mean, tell me if there's any truth in this statement. To be a great bassist, you almost have to, by nature, be an empathetic and unselfish person.
I hope so. And no, you really are the peanut butter in the sandwich, you know what I mean? You've got the rhythm section on either side of you, and you have to try to make that sound good, but also give a nice foundation for the horn player or the singer out front as well.
That's right. I mean, there you are. You're carrying the entire ensemble on your shoulders. You're the spinal cord that's pretty much determining what the groove is, what the tempo is, you know, and yet, once a bassist gets on stage, a few moments after tuning up, what happens? All attention almost immediately is focused elsewhere. And it doesn't seem fair. The dazzling piano player, the screaming trumpet, the sumptuous tenor sax, the vocalist. Here, you're this crucial player. You're determining the pulse, the groove. Everybody follows you. They have to. You're the harmonic root of every single chord that the band is playing. It's a ton of responsibility, not to mention physically demanding. So maybe we should start out with a tune with a fairly prominent bass part, a feature, which even people who don't play an instrument can fully appreciate. A song like Fever.
Sounds good to me.
Can we do it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Never knew how much I love you. Never knew how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. You give me fever. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, 'cause I know you're gonna treat me right. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning and fever all through the night. Everybody's got the fever. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing, 'cause fever started long ago. Captain Smith and Pocahontas had a very mad affair. When her daddy tried to kill him, she said, "Daddy, don't you dare, he gives me fever. With his kisses, fever, when he holds me tight. Fever, I'm his missus, and daddy, won't you treat him right?" Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he put his arms around her, he said, "Julie, baby, you're my flame. Thou giveth fever. When we kisseth, fever, with thy flaming youth. Fever, I'm on fire. Ooh, fever, yeah, I burn forsooth. Now you've listened to my story. Here's a point that I have made. Chicks were born to give you fever, be it Fahrenheit or centigrade. We give you fever. When we kiss you, fever, if you live, you learn. Fever, till you sizzle, and what a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way to burn.
Wow, Nikki, that was a great fever.
I am a Peggy Lee fan. She's wonderful.
Oh, man. I mean, if people could see, first of all, singing and playing bass are two completely different disciplines. They're both a lifetime study unto themselves.
True.
And here you are doing them both.
I'll keep trying because I'm enjoying it. I love doing it.
That's a really, really a feather in your cap. I'm astonished, in addition, how extensive your knowledge is of the American Popular Songbook. And I wonder how it is that a young lady growing up in Newcastle, Australia, which is, what, 100 miles north of Sydney?
North of Sydney, yes.
How did you discover this repertoire? In other words, whom shall we thank for exposing you to this great music?
You know, my parents' love of music is huge, you know what I mean? It was always classical music or through musicals. Or radio. Radio was big growing up. You know, it's still big to me because it's theater of the mind. It's here I am on a radio show. Of course, I always listen to the radio, and so it was around all the time. And I think I just took in a lot by osmosis when I was a kid. You know, because it was just classical music all the time on, and radio shows, and I just absorbed it. It was wonderful.
Now, you never played electric bass. You just went right to double bass.
I started playing electric bass when I moved to New York.
Oh, interesting.
And that was a way of getting into Broadway shows, doubling. I even did, like, R&B gigs for a while. And so I kind of moved around New York in different scenes by doubling as an electric and acoustic player.
Yeah. And I know you'll probably blush when I talk about this. I'm not going to talk about all your accolades and prizes that you won for songwriting and for all the scholarships you won, but I do know that your sister, Lisa, is a tremendous saxophone player. She plays soprano, alto, tenor, and barry, and I've heard her play contrabass, clarinet with equal skill. Now, talk about four separate disciplines. She
yes.
somehow has the embouchure, the everything, the
she
sound.
She gets a great sound on every instrument that she plays. You're right.
And a phenomenal songwriter. And I remember when you two recorded something together. Well, you won a songwriting competition, right? And I know you're embarrassed and you don't want to hear it. But, I mean, I've never won a songwriting competition. I think it's amazing. But you you wrote and you wrote with Lisa, who also is a fantastic songwriter. And I would imagine you probably learned some American standards. Like, you learned some standards I never learned. For example, there's this one by Milton Drake. I know his kid brother, Irvin, who's, you know, lives in New York here.
Right.
But you did this tune twice. I heard it on your MySpace page, and I heard it, you did it with Rossano Sportiello and also with John DiMartino. What is it with you and all these great Italian piano players? John Colleoni is another one. But you did that tune, "I Love the Way You're Breaking My Heart."
Mm-hmm.
What a great title. I got to hear how
yes.
this goes.
Okay, let's do it then.
Let's have a go.
I love the way you're breaking my heart. It's terribly, terribly, terribly thrilling. I love the way you're breaking my heart. Although you're gonna ruin it, it's heaven while you're doing it. I love the way I feel when we kiss. You're terribly, terribly, terribly irresistible. Sigh to me and lie to me, you really know how. It's gonna hurt tomorrow, but it feels so good now. So, darling, just keep playing your part. 'Cause I love the way you're breaking my heart. It's terribly, terribly, terribly thrilling. Gonna ruin it. It's heaven while you're doing it. I love the way I feel when we kiss. You're terribly, terribly, terribly irresistible. Sigh to me and lie to me, you really know how. It's gonna hurt tomorrow, but it feels so good now. Darling, just keep playing your part. Take the time and really finish the things that you start. 'Cause I love the way you're breaking my
heart. Wow, Nikki, I just wanted to go slow dance with somebody, but I was busy playing piano. That was fantastic.
Such a lovely song. It's
oh,
fun.
Oh, man. Well, there's more coming up with Nikki Perrott. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm John Weber, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Well, Nikki, I would be remiss if I didn't mention your Monday night gig for the first part of the 21st century. Mm-hmm. You spent a good decade with a man who probably more than any single individual affected our industry. I'm amazed at the number of careers he launched. I mean, one person's profound impact cannot be overestimated. I mean, I actually wrote him a fan letter. I'm talking about Les Paul, of course.
Yeah.
Tell me whatever. What should we know about Les Paul, other than the fact that we love him and we miss him?
I learn a lot, and I got to be close friends with him. I'd call him during the week, see how his health was, you know, particularly towards the end. You never knew if he was having a good week or a bad week. And there was almost like two shows going on. There was, of course, the show, and he really knew how to put on a good show. You know, it was almost like a vaudeville show. There were guests. you had to talk on mic. He was the first one that got me to sing. He's like, don't you do anything else but play the bass? So it was really a show. But backstage, there was another show going on. And that was like all these people that came by to say hello. Some famous, some infamous, but just a whole lot of interesting people who were in awe of his achievements. So it was a pleasure. And it was nice to play for a full room every Monday. And the crowds still keep coming, so it's still going. And we're excited about that.
It must have been a fantastic opportunity just to meet all these luminaries who were going there to be in awe of Les, and then they saw you, which was the biggest bonus in the world, to hear Nicky Parrott playing at the arena.
Thanks a lot. I feel like it was my honor to be there, you know what I mean, around everybody and meet all these great musicians. It was really a fun gig is what it was. It was really fun residency, you know.
Yeah. Well, were there any tunes, any staples that you did often, any of Les's favorite tunes? I mean, the guy stayed on the radar screen for 70 years, you know, which is almost impossible to believe in our business. But were there any particular tunes that he did a lot that in which he would feature you?
Yes. And it changed over the 10 years. When I first started doing the gig, he made How High the Moon a bass solo. You know, wow. He just said, just do a long solo. All right, you know. And then that changed later on because then he wanted to shorten the song and so he could fit more in the set. Or things did change throughout the years, you know. There were some wonderful old stand, you know, Brazil was a staple in his set, you know. And then there were some other tunes, and I can't remember the titles of some of these, but there were some tunes I'd never heard of, ever.
How about East of the Sun, West of the Moon?
He played that every Monday.
Really?
In the opening sequence, he'd play one tune after the other, just a chorus, and he always would stick in East of the Sun.
Oh, we have to play it in honor of Les.
Okay, I'd love to. East of the sun and west of the moon, we'll build a dream house of love, dear, near to the sun in the day, near to the moon at night. We'll live in a lovely way, dear, living on love, pale moonlight, just you and I, forever and a day. Love will never die, 'cause we'll keep it that way. Up among the stars we'll find a harmony of life to a lovely tune. East of the sun and west of the moon, dear. East of the sun and west of the moon. Just you and I, forever and a day. Love will not die, we'll keep it that way. Up among the stars we'll find a harmony of life to a lovely tune. East of the sun or west of the moon near. East of the sun and west of the moon. East of the sun, west of the moon.
Wow, Nikki, East of the Sun. What a great, I love that lullaby and rhythm lick.
Yeah, actually, when I was playing at Marion's in Bern with Dick Hyman, he put that as an intro, and I said, okay, I'll keep that.
I love that. I wanted to ask you something about you living down in Australia when you were a kid. I mean, again, you told me a little while ago that when you're 15 or so, you picked up the bass and you're playing with Lisa and the band, and, you know, because it was probably just another C instrument to you, like flute or piano. But when jazz luminaries like, I don't know, Ray Brown or somebody would come down to Australia to perform, would you make any special effort to travel the 100 miles south from Newcastle in order to hear them?
Actually, when Ray Brown came to Sydney a lot to play with James Morrison and Benny Green and probably Kenny Washington at the time, and I was living in Sydney at the time. You know, I was going to the conservatorium in Sydney studying bass, and I found out that Ray Brown was staying at the Siebel Townhouse Hotel, and I called up I figured out that this was their day off because I looked on their schedule, and so you get out, well, this is their day off. And I called the hotel and they put me through to Ray's room, and I said, I'm a bass player, can I have a lesson? And he said, well, it's my day off golfing, I'm going to go out golfing. I said, oh, it's okay, don't worry. He said, wait a minute. And he got my phone number, and he says, I'll give you a call back. And I said, okay. And then I just sort of forgot about it, you know. And he called back. He called James Morrison and said, is this golf for real or something? And canceled his golf game and said, how soon can you be here? I was there in half an hour, you know.
Wow.
So I got a nice, great, long lesson with Ray Brown, which was an incredible experience.
Your ambition really paid off. One phone call and look what happened.
It was worth a shot, you know. It was a great lesson.
You see, I guess, I mean, this is astonishing to me because here you are, you're an 18-year-old kid. I know I've met Australians who've never left the country, not even to nearby New Zealand for some reason. But you seem to have grand ambitions for seeing the world already at that point, I'm guessing.
Yeah, when I was not a couple of years after that, at 21, I think I took 3 months off and traveled around Europe, came to New York for a month. But Australians generally make that between the ages of 18 or 21, or sometimes after college, before college. They do go overseas for 6 months, but end up back in Australia usually after that.
Yeah. I mean, when you were going to these jazz camps and things when you were a teenager and early college, were there many women playing double bass at that point, or were you it?
I knew one in Sydney, and she was working, and she was great. But that's all I knew, which is surprising, because actually there's a lot of women bass players these days.
Yeah.
That I see around in Australia and here in New York as well. So.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's great.
But not many who can sing anywhere near as good as you.
There's some great singing bass players.
Yeah,
around
there's, I guess.
Today, actually.
I heard you sing a tune and play a tune on one of your records called "One Less Bell to Answer." Burt Bacharach, Hal David.
Yes. Yes, yes. Eddie Metz, the great drummer.
Eddie Metz, you're
yeah,
correct.
He brought it to me and he said, what do you think? And I'm like, oh, it's a torch song. Why not?
That was the first song I ever played when I met Marion McPartland, the first song I ever played for her.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, can I hear it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Well, that was one less bell to answer.
It was beautiful. I love that song.
Well, the only thing missing was your voice on that one.
I have sung it, but I didn't miss it. I did. I liked your version.
Well, I'm having a great time with Nikki Perrott. You can find artist information, set lists, and more on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. I'm John Weber, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. You know, Nikki, I've been complimenting you on your vast knowledge of the American popular songbook, but in fact, you do a really fine version of a song written by Consuelo Velasquez, who was an extremely gifted composer who contributed greatly to the Mexican popular songbook. And what this do you do true. By her?
A song that's been done a lot, but I can't get enough of it because I love the melody so much. This is Bésame Mucho.
Now, as I understand it, when she wrote this, it took some guts on her part because it was rather scandalous to sing about kissing in those days.
Right, and she wasn't even 20 years old, and she was asked who inspired the lyric, and she said, well, at that time, I'd never been kissed by anyone, so I wrote the song from my imagination, she said.
It's a remarkable song. This tune has managed to be absorbed into the American popular songbook thanks to Sonny Schuyler's English lyrics about 1943, and I think Andy Russell did it. You do a particularly wonderful arrangement of Bésame Mucho, which I would love to hear.
Well, shall we do it?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Bésame, bésame mucho, each time I bring you a kiss, I hear music divine, bésame, bésame mucho. Love me forever and say you'll always be mine. This joy is something new. My arms are holding you. Never felt this thrill before. Who ever thought I'd be holding you close to me? Whispering, it's you I adore. Dearest one, if you should leave me, each little dream will take wings and my life will be through. Bésame, bésame mucho. Love me forever and say you'll always be mine. This joy is something new. My arms are holding you. Never felt this thrill before. Who ever thought I'd be holding you close to me, whispering it's you I adore. Dearest one, if you should leave me, each little dream will take wings and my life will be through. Bésame, bésame mucho. Love me forever and say, just love me forever and say, love me forever and say, say you'll always be mine. Say you'll always be mine.
You do a fantastic job on that.
Thanks. Such a lovely song. It's
oh,
fun.
Oh, man. Nikki, you've compiled quite an impressive resume already for such a young person, a natural. And I know it makes you blush to acknowledge it.
I am blushing.
Good, good. I mean, that looks that's a good look for you. To acknowledge it, you've won a lot of awards and prizes, okay? I'm doing what comes naturally. You know, you're so self-assured, you don't need my accolades and praise, but you have won awards for composing great music, and I would like to play one of your pieces with you, which won first prize at the Jazz Action Society's song competition. Do you remember that?
I think I got lucky. I think I fluked it because it was one of the first songs I'd ever written, and I just put it in there just sort of just for fun, and they picked it out. I was very surprised, but I was listening to a lot of bop, hard bop at the time, and this sort of song came out of just absorbing myself in a hell of a lot of bebop and Charlie Parker and Art Blakey and all the greats. I was writing songs in that vein a little bit.
It's exactly what it is. I mean, if I didn't know that you wrote it, I might have guessed that Herbie Hancock or Wayne Shorter wrote Come and Get It, it sounds like it belongs in the real book.
Well, thanks. Let's put it in.
All right. Well, may I play Come and Get It with you?
I'd love to.
Cool.
A 1, 2, 3, 2, 2. Thank you.
Wow, Nikki, what a great composition. Come and get it.
Come and get it.
I love it. I know in two keys now.
You do. That's right. I recorded it in a different key. This was the original key I wrote it in.
And it was on your record, right? A Wabakal Suite. Is that correct pronunciation?
Yes, the Wabakal Suite, which was a tribute to the tribe of Aborigines that inhabited the lake previously in Australia where we grew up.
That's really something. I mean, I want to, speaking of Australia, I do want to thank one particular member of your extremely talented gene pool. That would be Iris Hargreaves.
Yes.
Whose name I saw in a dedication on one of your CDs called Fly Me to the Moon. She's got to be the proudest grandmother in Australia.
And she would have been 100 this year had she lived quite this long. She died 3 years ago, but she was a wonderful artist.
Really?
Yeah, wonderful artist. Wonderful paintings of the Australian bush, you know, and incredible, big, huge paintings of the outback. Wonderful.
And you dedicated a song on that record, Fly Me to the Moon, to your grandmother. And that song would be, of course...
Well, Waltzing Matilda, what else?
You know, I have to tell you my history with Waltzing Matilda. My father used to make tapes for me, cassette tapes of songs. He'd play 33 LPs at 45, so they'd be fast. The cymbals would decay really quickly, and the vibratos would be kind of like the Coroner on the Wizard of Oz, very silly.
Right, how fun.
But one of the songs was Waltzing Matilda.
Interesting.
And I remember it was in 4/4, and I thought, why is this called Waltzing Matilda? Mm-hmm. And I went to the library to find more versions of that song, and everyone was in 4/4. I thought, what does this mean, Waltzing Matilda? And then I looked up what the words were, and there were a lot of words which I didn't find in my own dictionary. I thought, what does this mean? I thought, this is a tucker bag, what's a jump buck, what are these things?
Yeah.
And it told a story, a very, very serious story. And the thing is, Waltzing Matilda is such a beloved and personal song to so many Australians.
That's right.
That I almost, sometimes I hesitate to step on this kind of musical hallowed ground.
Yes,
so
me too.
Only if I have your permission will I play it.
Well, this is my sister's arrangement of Waltzing Matilda, and she actually brought it back into 3/4. Because growing up, yes, I sang it. It was always in 4/4. And my sister changed the chords and made it a little more interesting than the usual version you might hear of Waltzing Matilda.
Well, it was a joy and a revelation discovering the meaning behind these lyrics, and I love your arrangement. So let's play that together. I'd
Why
love
not?
To. Be honored.
Once a jolly swagman can't buy a billabong under the shade of a coolabah tree, and he sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled. You come a waltzing Matilda with me, waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you come a waltzing Matilda with me. And he sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled. You come a waltzing Matilda with me. I've been a cities that never closed down, from New York to Rio
an old London town. But no matter how far or how wide I roam, I still call Australia home. But I'm always traveling. I love being free. So I keep leaving the sun and the sea. But my heart lies waiting over the foam. I still call Australia home. Waltzing Matilda, you'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me. Annie's ghost may be heard as you pass by that billabong. You'll come a-waltzing Matilda.
Nikki, it's a privilege to play Advance Australia Fair and Waltzing Matilda.
Wow, you know the Aussie national anthem.
Who knew? And I Still Call Australia Home by Peter Allen.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great song.
They mean a lot to me, too. You know, I've been in Australia 9 times.
Wow.
I love the place. I think it's extraordinary, and I think it's cool. Well, there's more coming up with Nikki Perrott. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm John Weber, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. You know, Nikki, sometimes I feel about as qualified to cover a Beatles song as, you know, William Shatner. But I think even the most hardened purist of the American popular songbook likes this next Paul McCartney song, which I know for a fact he recorded. Here, There, and Everywhere.
Yes, I did on a Venus release with Ken Poplawski. It's an uplifting song. I like it.
I adore it. It was on a record called Revolver. I remember it's the fourth song on the first side of the LP. And it's got a verse.
It does have a verse, a pretty verse.
And all four Beatles sing on it.
They do, don't they?
There's three harmonies in the background.
There you go, that's right.
It's glorious. I would love to play that with you.
Let's do it, why not?
Cool.
To lead a better life, I need my love to be here. Making each day in the air, changing my life with a wave of his hand. Nobody can deny that there's something there. There, running my hands through his hair. Both of us thinking how good it can be. Someone is speaking, but he doesn't know she's there. I want him everywhere. If he's beside me, I know I need never care. But to love him is to need him everywhere. Knowing that love is to share, each one believing that love never dies, watching his eyes and hoping I'm always there to be. Thank you. I'm everywhere. If he's beside me, I know I need never care. But to love him is to need him everywhere. Knowing that love is to share. Each one believing that love never dies. Watching his eyes and hoping I'm always there. And everywhere.
Wow, Nikki, nice job. Nice playing, nice singing. You do a fantastic job on that.
Well, it's a new song, but I love singing it. It's such a nice lyric.
See, I grew up with the Beatles, and I mean, my gosh, I remember hearing that. It was the fourth song on the first side of a Revolver, and I thought, man, I'd sure love to meet Paul McCartney. I bet you've met him.
Well, I did once, actually. Through Les Paul, I was fortunate enough that he came down to the gig. He was at Lincoln Center, and so he was all in a tuxedo and everything, and he came into the gig and just sat there, and then Les brought him on stage, and he told a funny story about auditioning for a gig with a Les Paul song way back when the beginning of the Beatles. You know, someone asked them to play a Les Paul song, and he told a funny story about that. And then when he went backstage and told some jokes, and he was cool, he was great. But I realized when he left that I didn't get a photo with Paul McCartney. I'm like, oh, what am I thinking? I didn't get a photo. So he left his scotch glass there, so I just got a photo with the scotch glass. So.
I think you'll get another chance at some point. You know, I hate to say this. I'm having so much fun with you. We're down to our last song. We have one more to go.
That flew by.
I know. And I know what that song has to be.
A classic Les Paul Mary Ford, perhaps?
A classic Les Paul Mary Ford, the one that gets our blood going like nothing else.
All right. Here's to Les.
That's got to be How High the Moon.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
One, two, and you know what to do. Somewhere there's music. How faint the tune. Somewhere there's heaven. How high the moon. There is no moon above when love is far away too. Till it comes true. You love me as I love you. Somewhere there's music. It's where you are. Somewhere there's heaven. How near, how far. The darkest night would shine if you would come to me soon. Until you will, I'll still my heart high the moon. Thank you.
somewhere there's heaven. How near, how far, darkest night would shine if you would come to me soon. Until you will, I'll steal my heart. Until you will, I'll steal my heart. Show me that W, move me that W.
Nikki, that was way too much fun.
I had a ball. I'm so glad I came here to do this. It was fun.
Thank you so much. I'll see you later, mate.
See you later, mate.
You've been listening to Marion McPartland's Piano Jazz with guest host John Weber and today's guest, Nikki Perrott. Piano Jazz is recorded at NOLA Studios in New York City and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Bill Moss, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production manager Grant Jackson, executive producer Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1101 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. You can find more information about the artists and music selections heard on Piano Jazz or listen to a recent program on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There you'll also find a link to our free weekly preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.